Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to a summer Friday afternoon in New York City. It is Evan and Tiki on The Fan for the next 4.5 hours. We got a lot to talk about. Apparently, I'm being mocked for the way I wore my bucket hat last night at Citi Field. We'll get to that later. The Yankees have a very interesting and big decision they need to make. We'll get to that as well. But a couple days ago, right here on Evan and Tiki, after the Mets suffered a brutal loss to the Atlanta Braves, we did the beach comparison, the ocean comparison. Like, they'll put out those flags to say the ocean's really bad, don't go in. Or, hey, don't worry, everything's fine. And I remember I raised a yellow caution flag on the Mets season. Wasn't overly concerned, but, hey, I'm starting to get concerned. Obviously, positive Tommy, true to his name, said no concerns here, all good, no biggie. And Tiki brought the red flag in the air and said, I'm worried. Well, here's the beautiful thing about baseball and the beautiful thing about sports talk radio. It has been 48 hours since you raised the red panic flag. Since then, it's only two games, but the Mets won both of those games.
Right.
The Philadelphia Phillies have lost both of those games. Now, in the process, the Mets lost Griffin Canning probably and unfortunately for the season last night with an Achilles injury. But I ask you, Teak, over the last 2 days and jumping back into first place, are you willing to bring down the red panic flag, or is there still panic in the air despite what's happened over the last 48 hours?
Well, the problem is, I think Pete Alonso was hyper-motivated because he sat with us yesterday. And we can't go out to the Cadillac Club every day, every home game, and bring the good juju. What are we now, 3-0 when we broadcast, or at least for the Mets, because that was a Subway Series, so we don't want to say we, because we're obviously talking about the Yankees last year, where they lost all four of those, especially the two that we were broadcasting from. But that's 3-0
yes,
for the Mets.
That is correct.
They win when we broadcast, because we talk to Mindy, we get them inspired, we get them motivated, we get him focused on what's important. Pete Alonso, I mean, maybe he fell short of the three home runs he promised you, but three hits?
Isn't that the same thing?
whatever, it worked. Yeah. And so, like, am I less worried? Of course, because it feels like after this Braves series that the Braves aren't fully your daddy anymore. It feels like the Braves have some faults and some fallibility. And we talked about this a bit yesterday, and it's so true. The Braves have two great pitchers. Schwellenbach, whatever. I'm confused now too. But whatever, we know who we're talking about. And Strider, you got four of those losses. Four of the five losses were those guys,
and include Chris Sale, who unfortunately for Atlanta is out for the season. But remember, Chris Sale pitched into the ninth inning against the Mets.
Yes. So my worry is still somewhat there because of the top end pitching that you're likely to face once you get to the postseason, and et cetera, et cetera. Are the Mets still going to struggle against that? But when you get the regular dudes, go to town. That's what I feel like eases the worry a little bit.
Yeah, my yellow caution flag is still there. I'm very happy about what happened the last two nights. I'm very happy that the Houston Astros did the Mets some help. I'm very happy that the Mets were able to get two victories against the Atlanta Braves. But my concern 2 days ago about the bottom of this lineup and now the pitching depth, I mean, those things remain real.
Right.
Now, the good news is, and this is, I think, the best part that we need to appreciate, is that the Mets bagged so many wins in April and May and early June that despite this funk and even the concerns we still have over the next few weeks until the All-Star break and the trade deadline, even those concerns are real, they're still in a great standings position.
No doubt.
I mean, the fact that they're in first place despite this stretch against division rivals where they went 3-7 feels like a small miracle. But the bottom of this order, which certainly was better the last few days, and I think one of the most encouraging things is Ronnie Mauricio. Ronnie Mauricio has hit, and to the credit of the New York Mets, they have rewarded that because Ronnie Mauricio is not, I repeat, not going down to the minor leagues when Mark Vientos is activated today. Jared Young is. So I think we're all thrilled about that. And so there's a chance the questions that we have about the bottom of this order can change if Ronnie Mauricio has figured something out, if Mark Vientos goes back to being 75% of the player he was last year before this season and obviously the injury. But right now, their rotation is being tested. And
yeah,
it's funny. I think coming into this season, there was all sorts of talk about they don't have an ace. You know, the Yankees have multiple aces. The Mets need an ace. Right now, in theory at least, the Mets have three guys that you look at and say, hey, that's a top of the rotation arm. David Peterson has pitched like one for a year. Now, obviously, his last start against the Phillies wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. But if you look at his entire sample size of what he's done since he's come back from the hip injury, I'm not telling you he's Tarik Skubal. I'm not telling you he's Max Fried. But has he been one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball over the last year? The answer is yes. Kodai Senga, look, it's about him staying healthy. But when the guy actually pitches, whether it was in 2023 or this year before the fluke calf issue, how many guys have been better than Kodai Senga?
Not many.
And even Sean Manaea. So I know there are questions health-wise regarding two of those, but I don't think it's this need or it's a search for an ace. I think it's a search for just competent innings.
Right.
And that's where losing Griffin Canning really sucks last night. I'm not telling you he was ever going to even make a playoff start, but you need guys to go out there every once in a while and pitch five or six quality innings. And right now, the Mets are being tested in that way, and they're becoming overly reliant that the questions around Manaea and Senga are positive immediately because they need those guys back because right now, their pitching depth is being tested, and I think that's kind of like a new yellow flag concern that one has to wonder about with Griffin Canning likely being done for the season.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing that keeps it at a high yellow is because of the injury to Griffin Canning. Now, we don't know exactly what it is. They haven't said anything yet.
You know what it is.
We know exactly. That was my point. We don't know what it is because they haven't said it, but we know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Because he goes down, steps back in that violent, quick way that we've seen it multiple times in the last, 2 years. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is the biggest one, but Tyrese Halliburton, you saw it with Jason Tatum. It's the same motion. You step back, all of a sudden you're down. And then the fact that he didn't walk off, he had to basically be carried off, tells you exactly what it is. He has an Achilles injury, and he's going to miss a year, maybe plus of that. So now you're worried about the depth of the starting rotation, and then also, even when Sean Manaea comes back, Frankie Montas is back. How deep are they going? Like, your bullpen is now heavily tested. So that question mark is still hanging over the bullpen, even though they played fantastic yesterday.
Yeah.
But can you do that every single night?
Yeah, their test right now is getting through the rigors of a regular season. Like, in theory, if Sean Manaea is healthy, if Kodai Senga is healthy, David Peterson, Clay Holmes, like, that's a formidable playoff rotation. Like, I look at that rotation and say, I'm good with that going into October if the Mets are in October. So it's not even the fantasy of adding an ace.
Right.
Like, we talk about DeGrom, but that's more, you know, it's a fantasy.
That's just because
that.
You want him to come back and finish his story and everything.
Absolutely.
Else.
That's not, oh, they need an ace. It's more, hey, wouldn't that be amazing? What they need right now, and they're going to try to get it internally because it's very tough to make a trade on June 27th, as much as people want to make trades on June 27th, is they got to find a way to get innings out of their starting pitchers.
Right.
They need starting pitching depth. That's what they need because their depth has been tested. And so my yellow flag is still out there. It's waving. But while I'm waving that yellow flag of caution, they're in first place.
Right.
And last night's win, maybe it's because you were there. Maybe it's because Tommy was there. Maybe it's because Sean was stuffing his face with cake in the Cadillac Club. I don't know.
By the way, you guys are bougie and spoiled.
We don't climb steps.
You guys took like the tiki route. Find friends and mooch. By the way, happy birthday to our good friend Peg.
Peg, thank you.
Her wife, Dawn.
Dawn, yep.
Right. And all of the people who took care of Tommy. Because now Tommy has an open invite.
He mooched too.
He has an open invite
now. Yeah. And Rick took care of Tommy too. Yeah, we made friends for him.
I'd like to thank Rick, Melissa, and Constance for adopting me for the night. They were very nice.
Maybe it's because they were mooching. I don't know. But that was a very important victory.
He was motivating. Not mooching. He was motivating all those people in right field.
Maybe, or maybe me putting on a Met bucket hat has finally changed the season for the good.
Maybe that's what it is.
Now you're a Met fan.
I became less of a Met hater last night, I must admit.
Whether it's Sean wearing the bucket hat, or Tommy mooching, or you on the FDR in traffic, whatever the reason was, that was an important victory.
It was.
Because the mood of the Met fan today, because I'm going to make you a little prediction, and we'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019, because I'm curious if the Met fan who is panicking over the last 72 hours is now confident again, if they're now relaxed again, or if despite the last two victories, there's still some panic in the air because of the questions around the rotation and certainly the questions around the bottom of the order. But I'm going to make you a prediction. I bet most Met fans are relaxed now.
Right.
I bet most Met fans have taken down the red flags of caution because I think most Met fans' mood changed based on an important victory against a division rival last night. And sometimes it's how you get the victory. When Griffin Canning is laying there on the mound, I think the Met fan, whether at Citi Field, a sellout crowd, or watching the game on SNY, they have multiple thoughts. One thought is the human thought, which is, oh my God, I feel bad for Griffin Canning. The guy's finally putting together a really good season. The pitching lab has made him a serviceable rotation member. And look what happened. This is a devastating injury. God knows when we're ever going to see him again. And then you've got the other Met fan, I may have been this guy after 30 seconds of worrying, who said, what the hell are we going to do with this rotation? Who's going to fill his spot? Is Blake Tidwell calling back up? Is Jonah Tong ready? Like right into the analyzation of what's next. And also then there's the third, and that is, how the hell the Mets going to win this game? It's 0-0. They haven't scored a run. Their starting pitcher's laying on the ground in the third inning with a runner on second and Ronald Acuña Jr. up. Are the Mets even going to win this game? And if they lose that game last night and they're not in first place and they lost 3 out of 4 to Atlanta, I can guarantee you the mood of the Met fan would be the same panic mood they had 48 hours ago.
Right.
And that's why there are certain wins over the course of a long season that really changed the mood of a fan base.
Well, there were certain wins that just put you into a better mood going into a weekend. Like, if this whole week had felt like the last week, you just like, how do you feel good about it?
Right.
You just don't. Now, maybe you get right against Pittsburgh because you're not facing Scooble at all.
And so, Skeens.
I mean, Skeens at all. Scooble is obviously in Detroit, but you're not facing Skeens at all. They have the back end of their rotation, so in theory, you could sweep, but you want to be good against the better teams. You're supposed to be one of the best teams, the New York Mets, and you have been for most of the season. But if you can't beat the other good teams, what good are you, right? Don't beat up on Colorados and Miamis of the world and the Pirates. You got to beat the good teams. And so that's what yesterday, if nothing else, proved that you still have the ability to do.
You also win 2 in a row against the Braves, even if you're 2-5 overall, and you get to say you're in first place.
Yes.
Like, there is something kind of magical when you wake up in the morning, whether it's reading a newspaper, which very few people do, or it's just saying it to your friend, hey, my team's in first place. So I do think that winning last night was important on a lot of levels, and I think it's relaxed the temperature of the New York Met fan. I think the Met fan feels good. But the yellow caution flag still needs to be up because over the course of this stretch of time, there have been some evils on this team that have been exposed, which is, are they going to get production from 5 through 9 in the lineup? Which we saw some signs of yesterday, but can they get it consistently? Are they going to be able to get innings from their starting pitchers? Because if you don't, not only is it obviously more difficult to win a game when you're going to your bullpen in the third or fourth or fifth inning even, but those bullpen arms that have been so reliable are going to become less reliable when you have to use them as often as the Mets have used them. So those concerns that existed 48 hours ago are still there. And the question that's facing the Mets going into this Pittsburgh series and then Milwaukee and then the Yankees and then the Orioles and the Royals is this. Can they survive until the All-Star break? Because as much as, and we'll do it a little bit today, and people will call in and they'll talk about trade for this guy, trade for that guy, we need this guy, we need that guy, that's not happening today.
No.
Like, it's just not. Trades are not made on June 28th, 29th, for the most part. David Justice is always the rare example we love to bring up, but it doesn't happen. Like, that pitching arm isn't walking through that door in the next 4 days. So the question facing this Met team is over the course of the next 15 games going into the All-Star break where they get a nice little respite and then you come out of the All-Star break and basically it's trade deadline season. Can they survive it? Can this recent stretch become the past? Can they over the next 15 games put together, I don't know, 9-6? Even 8-7 I wouldn't cry at. I really wouldn't, whether that's a loser mentality or not. And I think that's the task that's facing the Mets after they find a way to beat the Atlanta Braves last night at Citi Field in what was an electric atmosphere and a fun night and a bucket hat night. And I love my damn bucket hat. And I don't give a damn what anyone says about how I wear it, which we'll get to coming up. Plus the Yankees, plus your calls, 888-808-1019. Now, one thing that makes the trade for this guy, trade for that guy, trade for this guy thing so difficult in June, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, is that a lot of teams are not giving up. like, there are so many teams that make the playoffs now that everybody is in the race, with the exception of a select few teams. And those teams are so crappy that they usually don't have a lot of guys that you would want. So I will tell you an easy name that the New York Mets could acquire that would solve the issue I pointed out in the open, which is not looking for an ace, not even looking for a guy that would start a postseason game, but give you innings. A guy who is a reliable innings eater. The only negative is he makes a lot of money. And if Steve Cohen is willing to pay it, cool. The positive is he understands New York. So that guy is Luis Severino, who the Mets can simply kidnap while he's in New York this weekend facing the New York Yankees. Now, before anybody says, but his numbers suck, Evan, he misses the pitching lab, he's got a 4.7 ERA, what are we doing? I'll tell you something very interesting about Luis Severino. For whatever reason, and maybe it's Sacramento, maybe it's the mound, maybe it's the city, maybe it's the food.
Maybe it's no Jeremy Hefner.
Well, no, here's why. When he pitches at home in Sacramento, he's 0-7 with a 6.79 ERA.
Really?
When he pitches on the road in seven starts, he is 2-1 with a 2.27 ERA.
Hmm.
So those numbers tell me that his overall numbers may be misguided based on the fact that for whatever reason, which again, I don't know, the man can't pitch in Sacramento.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, if there's something like, kind of...
What about a ballpark or being at home could make you that bad?
The mound. I'll start simple. The mound. The mound sucks. It's possible.
Wouldn't other people suck then?
I think they do. I mean, have you seen the ace record?
I mean, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about like the other team.
All right. I'm going to give you a football analogy.
It makes no sense to me.
Well, hold on a second. Let me try to explain it then.
Okay.
Now, you're great. So you're like, Ev, I would have figured it out. There weren't stadiums where maybe the turf or grass.
The vet was garbage.
Okay. Well, some guys succeeded in the vet. They learned how to do it.
Hold on, Ev.
What?
Giant Stadium was garbage.
But you made it work.
Hey, of course, because you got to know it a little bit.
But you don't think there are certain players that maybe just can't make a bad situation work?
Maybe. It's interesting when you put it that way, but I don't know why. I feel like baseball stadiums are just all perfect. I don't know why.
Well,
it's
not
just
a minor league stadium.
It's a bias, and that's probably...
That's the point.
That's the point.
All I'm saying is, look... The Mets need innings. Like, if I'm going to define to you what they need right now, and usually it's impossible to make any kind of trade on June 27th, but I think we'd agree they could use innings right now.
Yes.
Look at their rotation. I don't even know who's going to be the fifth starter until Manaea comes back. It could be Blake Tidwell. It may not be. They may use an opener. I don't know. I'm pointing out that for the last year and a half, Luis Severino has been a reliable innings guy, which is kind of surprising considering what happened with the Yankees. Like, it's not like he was reliable innings-wise over the last 4 or 5 years, but he has over the year and a half. He's familiar with New York. Hefner's familiar with him. The lab's familiar with him. And before anyone just cites simply his bad numbers, and they are bad, he is facing the Yankees this weekend, so it'll be right in front of your face when they flash his stats. I'm just pointing out to you, his stats have splits that make you say, whoa,
yeah,
I'd actually be pretty interested in bringing him in. That's all I'm saying. And if the Mets are willing to pay the money, I think Met fans liked Seve last year. Bring him back.
Seve was great here last year.
And watch this. This is perfect for Sean because this sets him up.
This is,
you know what's great about bringing in Severino?
Sean's like a little bit of a Met fan right now. So
it's a troll.
Careful.
I was going to say.
My girl.
I was going to say the best part about training for Severino, especially if you wait a week, is that he can duck the Yankees as a New York Met again, right? So there you go.
That's good.
I made it work last year.
He's pitching Sunday, exactly. The Mets ducked him. The A's aren't afraid to.
Right.
Wow. Did you see what he did against the Yankees the last time he faced them?
I forgot he pitched against
you. You bombed him in Sacramento.
That's right. I forgot he faced the Yankees.
But then again, as these numbers prove, everyone bombs Luis Severino in Sacramento. Mm. But that's an interesting name. Like, I'm not against that. If Steve's willing to pay the money, obviously the Mets weren't willing to pay the money because they didn't re-sign him during the offseason. That's a guy who you throw in the rotation and he eats some innings. And the value of a player like that is it can actually untax your bullpen. Because that's kind of my biggest concern with whoever fills that rotation spot. Like, even if next week, where they use Blake Tidwell or they use an opener, that game usually features like five or six relievers,
right,
which makes the days around it really challenging. So it's not just the day that you're filling into that rotation spot. It's
right.
What happens the days around it.
Yeah, and it's hard to like think about that unless you're just really dialed into the rotation and the issues of the bullpen with fatigue and elsewise. But otherwise, you just think about the win. Find a way to win.
Right.
It's not about the issues that, like last night, they had to find a way to win. And did it do damage for potentially this Pittsburgh series? Maybe, but you can't worry about that.
Right. Or, you know what you could also do? Have the offense score 13 runs tonight.
Yes.
And have a 13-4 lead and not have right. to use the high leverage relievers out of your bullpen.
Real quickly, you want to revisit something? Stroman for Beatty, I make the deal. How about you?
No.
You need some guys to eat some innings the rest of the year.
But he's not reliable. He's coming off an injury. And what I've been reading down in AAA, and we'll talk more about Stroman later because the Yankees do have to make a decision on him, is his command is way off. So you're just giving me a starting pitcher. I would need somebody who I can rely on. All Marcus Stroman does is add to the list of questions that the Mets already have. They have a lot of innings questions.
But you have a lab.
Yeah, but again, I don't think it just fixes everything.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it fixes certain things. It can't fix everything. Let's go to Junior and Patchogue. What's up, Junior?
Hi, Evan. Hi, Tiki. Hey, Sean. Hi, Tommy. I'm a big fan of you guys. I just want to say that you guys make the afternoon absolutely fabulous. So thank you for doing what you guys do.
Appreciate you.
I want to give some credit to Sean, even though he's a Yankee fan. He's a big troll on Twitter. But my son, he has autism, and his favorite part of the show is the Sean Cinco, the 5-0.
Oh, nice.
So every time at 5 o'clock, he'll say, Daddy, Cinco time, and he really appreciates that.
That's
so
awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Junior.
Yeah, great to hear.
You're
that,
welcome.
Junior. That's awesome, man.
It makes my day. And then my two other points goes to Evan. I'm a diehard Mets fan, and even though this horrible stretch they've been, I've been super positive only because it's a long season. Everybody knew they were going to go through the ups and downs of it. So this long, you know, them going 2-7 in the last 9 games, it's okay, but it's part of the season. But that's why I've been super positive, and I have to thank our savior and our leader, Positive Tommy, with all the positive vibes.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Amen. Positive Tommy.
And Positive Tommy.
Was sitting behind Juan Soto in right field last night.
And what is your record now at Citi Field? Like, do you know your composite record now being in the building?
You're saying my record this season?
Yeah.
I am.
It shouldn't be that difficult. It's not like you're there a lot. What's the record?
Well, I'm just going through.
You went with me, right?
Yep. 1-0.
And then
I was there last night. 2-0. Did I go to a third game? That's what I'm trying
to
think about.
How do you not remember this?
Because things down, Evan. It slipped my brain.
You didn't go to opening day. There hasn't been a Subway Series yet. And you watched the Knicks for 2 months. You did not go to opening day.
So that would be, after much deliberation, I'm 2-0.
much deliberation.
It's normal to not know how many games you've been to when you go to a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know my amount of games. I'd have to look at when I wrote it down. But you've only been to 2 games.
Hold on a second.
I do not know off the top of my head.
Does me being there last night count as being at the game, even though I left?
When did you leave?
First pitch-ish?
He walked out with a hot dog dripping down his fingers at first pitch. That was it.
My ruling is, I think you need to be there for at least 3 or 4 innings for it to count
right,
as
so
a game.
Yeah, so I'm just 1-0.
Yeah, you're 1-0. But Tommy is 2-0. But he had trouble counting how many games he's been at.
Well, we all know. When somebody asks you about your number, you want to round up. You want to lie about it. Some people round down.
By the way, you never know who's going to get offended by it. So you just kind of...
Exactly.
You waffle and you kind of lie and don't ever actually give an answer.
I'm positive, Tommy. They probably want me at more games. So I'm like, if I say 2, that makes me look bad. So I was trying to reach for a third. I can't find one in the bag.
If you had to guess right now, today is June 27th. You made some great friends at the Cadillac Club.
I sure did.
If you had to predict how many games, regular season, leave the playoffs out.
Okay.
How many regular season games in totality will you end up going to at Citi Field? Your answer would be?
These include games I'm not paying for on the arm. 5-finger discount.
Well,
right?
You haven't paid for any, so why
that's
would
correct.
Not?
I can't remember the last time I paid for a game. I will attend 5 more games before Labor Day.
No way. Mm. I'm taking the under, Teak. What about you?
No, I think he's going to get to 5.
You think he's going to ask the Cadillac Club and the friends he's made for favors?
Well, I think you're going to take him. Just randomly.
I don't know if I am, if I'm betting the under.
Well,
I don't want to.
You can't allow the bet to influence your, I don't know, desire to have Tommy come to a game.
That's true. You're
so,
right.
So you're going to take him to 1, maybe 2. I know his friends from Livingston are going to take him to another one.
Yes, Rick, Melissa.
Jamie, who's amazing, already invited him. So that's a fourth.
A positive Peggy.
Peggy, right?
Yes.
and Dawn. Like, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he's going to get the lot.
All right. I'm saving this audio. Friday,
people, people like Tommy.
No, I know they do. I just think, I think that it's an awkward spot. Like, he's not going to ask them. Like, he's not. He's not going
to. They are going to just randomly invite him.
I think there will
be. I promise you that's going to happen.
I think there will be.
Hey, Tom, one, you want to come to a game? You got their numbers, right? They got yours?
Yes.
Hey, Tom, you want to? We got an extra ticket.
I think there will be one random invite from each, and that'll be it. That's my prediction. What about you, Sean, real quick?
I think he gets to one more game in the Cadillac Club and one game with Evan. Four.
So you want four. So you're taking the under as well.
I am.
All right, we'll see. Let's go to Kevin in Oakland, New Jersey. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Evan.
Yeah.
Before you cut me off, I have a second counter to my question. I got a perfect guy, competent innings, hopefully, lightning in a bottle, Trevor Bauer.
No.
It doesn't cost you anything.
No.
And I'm not a huge – listen, I find everything that he did reprehensible. I'm not going to speak for you guys, but I'm sure you guys do as well. But he's not going to cost you anything. And here's the other thing I want to know, and you would know this of all people. Jose Reyes seems like he's welcome back to Citi Field.
Yes.
Is he playing in the
Shea?
And he's a what he did is worse than Trevor Bauer.
I think the problem is, Kevin, I don't think we actually know what Trevor Bauer did. Like, the fact that every team is staying away from him should open up the eyes of there's probably more that we don't know. Unless you just believe that Major League Baseball has decided to blackball the guy. Because you are right. You bring up other people that get second chances. I heard earlier today on the Midday Show, Sal wants Aroldis Chapman. And Aroldis Chapman has his history.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to make it clear.
But he's still in the league.
But that's his point.
Right.
Which is guys get second chances. I think the fact that Bauer hasn't gotten one shows you a few things. I think it shows that there's probably more we don't realize. Mm-hmm. And also probably shows that teams don't want to deal with him. Like, maybe it's his personality.
Right.
Maybe
he doesn't, doesn't feel very humble.
Yeah. I think that's a part of it.
Of course.
So I hate to be a follower in this regard because it's easy to say, come on, he's available. You got nothing to lose. But the fact that no one wants him is such a warning sign to me to say, I'm not going to deal with it.
Right.
It's just not, it's not worth exploring that. And by the way, let me say this about Aroldis Chapman, and I'm not talking about his past because his past is what it is. You know why I really don't want Aroldis Chapman, the baseball player? And I want all Met fans to really have an open mind about this. Same thing with you, Sean, as a Yankee fan. Maybe you'll be my reference point. Does anybody in their right mind think this would work? Does anyone think Aroldis Chapman in New York City as the non-closer who's had how many breakdowns as a member of the New York Yankees, does anybody in their right mind think that ends well? Because I don't, and I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it.
I actually could see it being fine.
How?
Because it's not in a pressure situation. He's not in a high leverage situation.
Of course it's a pressure situation.
But not the ultimate one. Edwin Diaz, you know, is your closer. Aroldis Chapman, if he accepts that, I feel like put him on task and just take care of what you're here to take care of, which is to set up Edwin Diaz. Throw gas if you need to. We'll push you into another, the next inning. But I actually could see that. If you humble him down a little bit and not have him feel like he's the man, maybe it could work.
But the problem is he's always wanted to be the man. He only wants to close.
Okay, so then
and
don't
now,
bring him here.
That's my point.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, we agree.
He can't be the man. He can't be the second man. If you got him here as like seventh inning guy, your third guy down that behind Diaz and somebody else, I think then it could work.
But he doesn't want to do it.
Then it's never going to work. If he's
thank
only
going
to be a closer, then no. It's a non-discussion.
Well, there you go. Thank you. So we all agree. It just took you guys a few minutes to, like, say your piece, and then you're like, oh, okay, right.
But, Evan, you didn't set it up with that caveat, because, of course, with Edwin Diaz being here, he would never be the man. So, to Tiki's point, taking away the actual save situation from Aroldis Chapman, that is when you have a chance to go, you know what, we're not asking you to get the last three outs of the game. Go figure it
out. But that's what he wants to do.
Over it doesn't matter what he wants to do.
Of course it does. He's a head case. You bring this guy in and give him a job he doesn't want, watch when he walks the first guy on four pitches. Watch when he walks the second guy on four pitches. He's a head case.
So intentionally.
No, not intentionally.
So to tank his career.
No, I didn't say that. Okay. I just think that it would get to him mentally. Mm. I've seen Aroldis Chapman break down in front of my eyes, not just as a Yankee, but throughout his career. And I just think this is a horrific, like, okay, I'll phrase it this way. If you're telling me I can get him for nothing, okay, it's a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you a lot. And I'm not spending a lot on something that is essentially a lottery ticket because I don't know how he's going to react to that kind of role.
I agree with that.
Thank you. So you guys agree
with me? Not spending money for him. But if he's being given away, why not take a shot?
But he's not being given away.
I know, I'm just saying.
And that's why I don't want him. Like, that does not intrigue me. I would rather take out lottery tickets on relievers.
By the way, there's none of these guys that are going to be... you're going to be held over the fire monetarily wise for that. David Stearns is going to say, yep, that's right for us. We already know that. So it's not even worth considering.
What do you mean? Say that again?
David Stearns is not going to accept any player who's you got to give the world for. This is not his MO.
I think the right player he would.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we've seen it yet. Like, we saw it in Milwaukee years ago. We don't pay attention to it, but he traded for Christian Yelich and then signed him. So I know there isn't a long history of this, and he hasn't done it yet here with the Mets. I agree with you. But I don't just accept the notion that he's not going to make an aggressive...
Christian Yelich was coming up. Well, he was almost an MVP that year, right? Because he won the MVP in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Right? So,
but he acquired him as he was emerging as a star, and he gave up a lot, or at least what we thought was a lot at the time.
Right.
So I'm saying, yes, I think he would do that for the right player. Who is that right player? We could debate it. But I do think in the right deal, and we're going to see it in the next 2 years. I'm not sure if it's going to be this trade deadline, Teak, or it's the offseason, but I think we will eventually see David Stern make that aggressive, hey, I'm going to trade a lot of capital for this guy kind of deal. Maybe it's Tarik Skubal if the Tigers make him available. I don't know. But I can't agree with the notion he wouldn't do it. I'm just saying I don't want to roll this Chapman. You don't want to roll this Chapman, right, Tommy?
Absolutely not. I don't like the vibes of it. I don't want... Yeah, exactly. That laughter you hear is Sean Marash, and that laughter you hear is Keith McPherson, and that laughter you hear is Chris McMonagle. So I don't like the vibes of it. I don't like the aura. I don't want him anything to do with it.
I don't want to touch him. I agree with you, man.
And the ego and everything. We have Sugar. We have Diaz. We could add a lunch pail type guy to the bullpen. I'm cool with that.
I have a plan for Chapman. Make him a starter.
You know he came over as a
You mean
starter.
like an opener? You mean like throw like two innings?
I mean, you guys have a history of turning Yankee closers into starters. I think that would
work. We have a great history of that because Clay Holmes is dealing. But
do you remember, and I don't think he's ever done it at the major league level. Like, I don't think he's ever started a game at the major leagues. But when he came over from Cuba and he was like this highly regarded prospect, he was a starter.
Did he start with the Reds at all?
I don't think he ever did.
That. Right.
Yeah, I don't think he ever did it at the major league level, and I am certainly not suggesting that at 37 years old he should try that. But then again, with this pitching lab, you never know. A year from now, we're talking about, fourth starter, Aroldis Chapman. Let's go to Scott in Hamilton. What's up, Scott?
What's up? Ed, what's up, Teak, Sean, Tommy? Hey, this whole Stroman to the Mets stuff, it's got to stop. This, and I was saying to when I called it, he quit on the Mets years ago. Ended the season when he, felt that he was going to hurt himself, over whatever it was. And then on top of that, he called the Mets racist. How on earth would anybody want him back on the Mets?
I think, first of all, when he said that, I think there were different people running the organization. Yeah. So from his perspective, if he felt that way about the Mets organization, I'm not sure he did. I'm trying to remember the context of it. I think he said that about certain fans and what they said after he sat out the COVID season and eventually left as a free agent. But in terms of the baseball aspect, I don't want him because he's not reliable. And there was a time where he was. Like 2 years ago, I would have said, hey, Marcus Stroman's reliable. But when you look at the Met need in their rotation right now, to me, it's reliability.
Yeah.
It's a guy that can take the baseball every 5 days and throw five or six innings. And obviously, he hasn't done that this season. So why would I trust that?
No, you can't. And even last year, if you want to go back into that world, it got disastrous and then he just kind of disappeared.
Right.
So it doesn't feel like he has enough left to be worth it. Knock the guy, he doesn't feel like he has enough left.
He is at this point a lottery ticket, and with relievers, I'll take a few lottery tickets. I have no issue with it. If the Mets are acquiring a pitcher, I don't want a lottery ticket. I would rather not acquire anybody and use the lottery tickets I already have,
right.
Whether it's a young pitcher and saying to Jonah Tong, hey, you're dominating AA, we're going to give you a starter too. You know what? Yeah. Screw it. You're pitching so well in Binghamton, boom, you're in the rotation.
Yeah.
Or the same thing with Nolan McLean, or even Blade Tidwell.
So you'd rather have those options than, say, this Stroman thing is made up in Sean's head, so it's not even real.
It's not real. Yeah, he's got to calm down. It's not real.
If he did come to the Mets, it wouldn't be as a starter. It'd be as a long reliever, maybe.
Who?
Stroman. The problem is, he wants to be a starter.
Right.
And he hasn't ever been a reliever, because even last year he said he didn't want to do it.
Right.
So it's just not worth it. So I know that you're trying to, or people, in this case Sean, who maybe was trolling, is trying to think of names that make sense. He doesn't make any sense.
No, Luis Severino makes sense. The guy they're facing tonight, Mitch Keller, makes sense. And unfortunately, right now, the pool of teams that you look at when talking about a trade are all the really, 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 really bad teams. because there's a lot of teams that are in the midst. Like, they're sort of in it. They're not out of it. They're still there. And so they're not trading anybody on June 27th. They may not even be trading anybody on July 15th. And that's why I said this yesterday, the trade deadline should be moved back. But it's not going to be moved back this year. It's July 31st. You have to wait. And here's the funny thing about baseball. Who knows what we're saying about the Met rotation on July 25th? Is it possible that it gets worse? Of course. Guys can get hurt. Injuries in pitching and in baseball happen all the time. But is it also possible it gets better? Is it possible that Shaw Manaea is back in a week and dominating? Sure. Is it possible that Blade Tidwell or Nolan McClain's given a chance in this rotation and runs with it? Absolutely. I mean, so much can change over the next few weeks before we get to the trade deadline. But right now, yeah, I want reliability at the back of the rotation because it feels unsustainable to be getting 4 and 5 innings, sometimes less, from your starting pitchers every single day. Jonathan in Massachusetts. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm good.
What's up?
Well, I wanted to reinforce Tommy's thing. I told you before a couple of years ago about really the power of positivity in the fans. And really, you know, it's connected to what we're talking about always. As fans, there's really only one thing we can control, and that's our energy. We can't really control what players they get. And I think it's an overlooked thing. It's such an easy thing to complain or speculate. But I think if you look at this Mets team, really for the past several years, I think they're by far the most positive team. And it goes top down from Cohen and his wife to Mendoza and all these players. I mean, if you look at Lindor and Nimmo, these guys are they're the most smiling team in baseball, and I think we as fans reinforce that. Again, it's the only thing we can control, and I'll leave it with that.
I don't really understand his point. Maybe Tommy can translate to us.
I think what he's trying to say, my dear friend Jonathan, who of course is part of the Positivity Posse, is that the Mets are a family business. They're all about the power of positivity, whether it was the vibes from last year. And anytime you go out to the ballpark, like 42,000 people sell out last night did, there's just great vibes. And what he's saying is that as a fan, and I said this to my new friends last night, Rick and Melissa, because they're down on Juan Soto or this guy doesn't get a hit. I said, what does being negative about the team ever accomplish? Like in all the years of, let's say, an Evan Roberts negativity, right? You sat there all year worrying about your basketball team, and then they let you down again. What
my basketball team? When was I worried about them? They suck since the beginning.
But I'm saying that
that's a terrible
you
example.
Kind of, no, because you kind of went into it in like a negative vibe, even though you were a little bit positive. Or anytime you're down on the Jets or down on the Mets, what has that negativity ever fostered as far as good vibes or wins or championships? It hasn't. So why live your life negatively, especially with sports? Sports is supposed to be fun and escape.
I get that. I think
I don't know if you do, though.
No, I do, because when I'm at a game, I tend to be kind of negative. Like, I expect bad things to happen. And that's not for any reason other than I've seen a lot of bad things, so you just kind of expect it to happen. But I think around games, I've learned to be positive. Like, around them, I've learned to say, all right, let's be rational about this. But the reality is, what I try to do, at least, I could speak for myself, is just to call like it is, good or bad. You know, a couple days ago, I looked at this Met losing streak and said, things aren't good right now, but it's not the end of the world. Like, I think they'll find a way out of it. Yeah. So,
well, because they were still hanging around first place.
Well, and I was also just trying to be rational about it. So I don't think it's about everything is positive, which is you guys, or everything is negative, which is Frank the Tank. It's just calling it like it is. And I'll call it like it is right now. The Mets are a good team. They're in first place. Are they perfect? No. Can this end terribly? Sure, it can. Can they win a World Series? Probably not, but they can. Like, I'm just being honest about what they are. You're a positive guy, though, Teague.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh, what are you negative about, other than the state of the world?
Sports-wise?
Yeah.
Not a whole lot
See?
Right now.
You're a positive
I'm
guy?
Saying, I'm positive now, only because both teams are in first place.
When you were playing, you were definitely a positive player.
I hate it.
All the time. Yeah.
Always positive.
Yeah.
Except for when I knew it was, like, ending.
What do you mean? Your career
season?
Season. Gotcha.
Like 2003.
Right.
Just kind of like, ugh.
At what point in the season did the negativity take over?
We were 4-4 that season.
Right.
And then we didn't win another game.
So at what point? Was it 4-6 when you said we suck?
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably like 4. We just knew. Like everybody started getting hurt. I don't know. The desire wasn't there. Then Jim gets fired, but he stays on. It was just, it was a weird situation.
Yeah.
That's probably my only negative season. Because it just felt like, what the hell are we even doing this
Right,
for?
Right.
And then Coughlin came in and things got better. Or worse, but better.
That's a good way to put it, man. Joey's in Westchester. What's up, Joey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So, yeah, like you said, too early for really any trades, but I just want the sports talk of or narratives of, like, Arenado to the Yankees to just stop. Like, he's fallen off a cliff offensively, whether you want to look at, like, WRC plus or OPS plus, where, like, 100 is considered league average, and then, you know, any point above or below 100 represents, you know, a percentage point
right
better or worse.
Better or worse.
Like, yeah, he's declined from, like, 140-something in 2022, and then he goes to 106 and then 102, and now he's at 93 this year.
Right.
Like, for someone that's making the amount of money that he's making, just having a glove-first guy and bringing him in just doesn't seem like a smart decision. So I just want that talk to just completely stop.
Yeah,
especially on you guys.
I wanna, especially, Joey, especially if he's 7% less than the average.
Yeah, but I want to counter you with one thing, because you're obviously okay. Right about what you say, but there's two things I think you're leaving out to just make the case. One last case to you, Joey, because mm-hmm. you sound like a reasonable guy, on why exploring Nolan Arenado with the trade deadline can make sense. I'm going to give you two little factors. Number one, his production against left-handed pitching. Like, if you just split it and say, well, how's he doing against lefties? Well, not an all-star, not the guy he used to be, a much more productive player. So if you use him in the right way, maybe in some kind of platoon, you would get more out of Arenado. And then the second part, which I think you'll buy, is, yeah, I'm not paying him his full salary. Like, the Cardinals would have to pick up a lot of it. And if they pick up a lot of it, and I've got a guy who still plays really good defense and can produce against left-handed pitching, is that not an upgrade over what you currently have?
I would agree with that, then. Yeah, I think that's very reasonable.
Thank
if
you.
They pick up a ton of salary, then yes, I would be for that in a platoon situation.
There you go. That's all I'm saying. Like, you're right about what Nolan Arenado is. And I know this is a name we talked a lot about before the season started. And his numbers, if you look at what he's done this year compared to last year, like, Goldie's had a turnaround year. Credit to Paul Goldschmidt. Nolan Arenado hasn't. And he's only 34 years old. It's not like he's 44 years old or 38 years old. So his production still remains down. But he still plays good defense, and he hits left-handed pitching. And so if the Cardinals get to the point where they are so desperate to move him, they're picking up a portion of that contract, or they're taking back maybe a bad contract. Marcus Stroman! It makes you better. And sometimes we got to look at it simplistically. Are you a better team if he's on the roster? Yes. Obviously, he's not what he used to be. I'm not arguing that. But if you use a guy the right way and enough money's picked up, the Yankees become a better baseball team.
It sounds like to me that Evan Roberts' brain is reporting that the Yankees are going to trade for Arenado. You want to double down on that?
Didn't we hear that for an entire offseason?
You want me to re-report that again?
Why not?
Evan Roberts' brain is now re-reporting that before July 31st, Nolan Arenado will be a New York Yankee.
Nah.
You still don't buy it?
Nah, no chance.
You know what's really screwing up my prediction?
Eugenio Suarez?
No, not even him, because I think the package on him will be high if he's traded. It's the fact that the Cardinals are 6 games above 500. Like, they thought they were going to suck. Like, they thought when they were going into the offseason and Mazalak is like, oh, we got to get rid of Arenado. He thought the Cardinals were going to be bad. So they're right there. Like, if you go to Baseball Reference, they have a 40% chance to make the playoffs. Are they going to sell guys off?
No chance. There's too many teams that are right around the 500 line and not that far out of their divisions to start selling or even thinking about it right now.
Unless they fall off.
Unless they really fall off.
That's why. Here's my advice to everybody as you're bored. You're like, oh, what the hell am I going to do? Strategically watch baseball. Root against teams that you think have players you want to trade for.
It's strategery.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I mean, do the Braves qualify here? I mean, the Braves are, interestingly, 6 games below 500, 10 games out of the division.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't feel like they're dead, even though you could almost start to put them on that list.
Do they qualify? For the Yankee fan, they absolutely qualify. Not for the Met fan, because the Mets are not making a trade with the Braves.
No,
like, that's not happening. So, yes, if Sean Morash is going to follow my strategery of strategically watching baseball games or rooting for teams that can help you acquire players, then yes, this weekend, for example, the Braves played. You know who they played, Shawnee?
The Phillies.
Very good. Not only your Met hatred, but your strategic...
Stop, 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 stop. Cut it out of there now. I'm no longer a Met hater.
Whatever you are.
He's a sympathizer now.
Okay. Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Even as a Met sympathizer, you need to put your Yankee fandom first. You should root for the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the Braves could fall out of it, Not that they're trading you Austin Riley, but there are pieces of this team that they may sell off that can make you better. Mm. You know who really gives me a quandary?
Who?
I hate the man. I despise him. When I see his face, my skin crawls.
Stop talking about Tommy like this.
Yeah, I'm sitting right here. Dude.
But Tommy's going to agree with me. There's a guy on the Braves who makes me sick, but I also realize, man, if they ever traded him.
Azuna?
Yes.
I knew it.
But
because he seems like the one guy they would move off of.
He's such a scumbag. I mean, we know what he's done off the field. And
right.
We talked about that earlier, like guys who get second chances. And yep. I'm not opposed to bringing in bad guys. Like, look, Jason Kidd was on my basketball team for a long time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to act like I'm some kind of hypocrite.
Right.
But with him, there's something different. Like, I don't want him, but he's pretty good. You don't want him either, right, Tommy?
No, especially with the whole positive Tommy thing. Stay in Atlanta or go somewhere else.
Positive Tommy.
He's 34.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't want him.
How long are you doing it?
I don't want him. And you guys don't have to worry.
But he's such a pain in your ass, though.
I know. Like, acquiring him would be great because they don't right. have to lose to him anymore.
Exactly.
And you guys can't think about him because you're filled at DH, so he doesn't fit the Yankees.
Yeah, we got plenty of those.
I'd like to see Ozuna traded to the Mariners. Like, that would make me actually really happy.
Yeah, that's an innocuous location.
Get him out of the league. I never have to see him again. Even though the Mets do play the Mariners coming up in the summer.
Right.
But whatever. I'll deal with those 3 days. So positive Tommy can't root for Marcell Ozuna?
I wouldn't feel comfortable giving my positive vibes to a person like that.
What about Aroldis Chapman?
I don't like it either. I said earlier, I don't like the vibes.
What about positive Tommy rooting for head coach Jason Kidd?
Oh, boy.
Oh,
why?
Boy.
Are you hearing something? I really... Well, once a Nick, always a Nick.
He says that like he's like something's happening like yeah. around the corner.
Not great. I mean, we brought it up, but, you know, it is what it is. Sometimes when they put the uniform on, you think differently. But, you know, positive Tommy has to stand on business sometimes.
We will get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And Gary Cohen, the voice of the New York Mets and SNY, asked a great question the other day that needs to be posed to Sean Morash. Because I don't know what he's going to say. And I'm not sure what half the audience is going to say. It was a very random question by Gary recently that had a lot of people thinking.